You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right, so the Commission for Financial Capability is due to release a review of government policies on retirement income at the end of this year. A University of Auckland summit is being held on April 26th to discuss these issues. I spoke to Peter Courts, Acting Retirement Commissioner, about what the main issues around retirement income in New Zealand currently are. I started by asking him to tell me a little bit about what the summit is.
Yeah, look, the summit organised by University of Auckland's Retirement Policy and Research Centre is a great starter for a conversation about retirement income policy this year. Every 3 years, the Commission for Financial Capability, which is the Office of the Retirement Commissioner, is required to conduct a review of retirement income policy and make recommendations to government around the policy. The summit is the first significant event to kick the year off, and a number of research pieces currently in play, and the full review won't be completed until December, but this summit that we're participating in is kind of the start of that conversation.
Okay, cool. So what are the main issues that you're hoping to address at the summit?
Well, look, this summit is, I guess, one part of the conversation. I'm there in my capacity as GM Community talking about low-income populations and retirement issues. A colleague of mine is there talking about issues around an ageing population and ageing workforce. And across a variety of speakers, there's a bunch of topics, I guess. But from the Commission's perspective, our broad focus on the review of retirement income policy across the entire year covers everything from, I guess, the impact of current retirement policies on vulnerable communities, low-income groups, issues around retirement saving, KiwiSaver, even something like declining home ownership rates and those sorts of issues. I guess a key one, and this is a bit, I guess, when I was thinking about your audience, a younger audience, and why something that sounds as dry as retirement income policy should be of interest to a younger audience. I guess the big picture for us too is is the sustainability of the current superannuation model. You know, at $30 million a day currently, New Zealand Super is the biggest benefit in town for over 65s, the universal benefit that you're eligible for once you turn 65. I guess the other thing that's important for people to understand is today's taxpayers fund day's super annuitants. And with an ageing population, you know, you've got a dependency ratio of some 4 taxpayers to every 1 superannuitant right now. But in 30 years' time, that's 2 taxpayers for every superannuitant. And at $30 million a day, that number doubles in the next 12 years, trebles in the next 20 years. So, you know, younger people do need to take an active interest in this space, because it's that generation, I guess, that will be saddled with paying this and sustaining this if there aren't changes.
So what are the main changes that you would suggest specifically for that issue?
Oh, look, this isn't, I guess, we're at the front end of this. We're at the front end of this process, so probably a little early to be reaching for recommendations just yet. But if we look at the 2016 review, which is the last time we conducted one, there were a number of recommendations made there around changes to KiwiSaver settings, and a number of those changes have since been enacted, which give people more flexibility, control around their retirement saving, including for over 65. You know, I guess the other feature of an aging population is more people are working beyond 65. So, you know, so some of the recommendations have been picked up from that time. I guess one of the big ones is the age of eligibility for superannuation, which is currently set at 65. Now, a lot of folk have got, I guess, get a little hung up on that shift, and there was a recommendation back in 2016 to shift it from 65 to 67, which brings us into line with other countries similar to us. While that was signalled to be picked up by the previous government, it isn't on the radar for this government. So, you know, that change in and of itself isn't where the focus of the review is. It really is more broadly about how to sustain the current superannuation model and, you know, what the purpose of superannuation is and whether retirement income policy settings are serving that purpose.
Okay, great. So I see that a large part of the report is going to be based around KiwiSaver. Do you think that the public is informed enough about KiwiSaver?
Oh, look, we know from our research that a good chunk of the, I think, something in the order of 2.7 million New Zealanders are in KiwiSaver, are largely passive participants in that space. A good number of them don't even know what provider or what type of plan they're in. So, you know, it's you know, there are a good number of New Zealanders who are very actively engaged in maximising their return from that space, but a significant proportion of New Zealand are largely disengaged. You know, one of the changes that was picked up from the 2016 review was changing the name of the savings holiday to a savings contribution holiday to a savings suspension, which more accurately reflects what it is, and the default period for that being 1 year rather than 5 years. So again, just an effort to get people more actively engaged in that space. Folk probably aren't in the main as aware of how hard their KiwiSaver is working for them as they could and should be. You know, we'd encourage everyone at every stage of their life to be, you know, reviewing the plan that they're in, making sure that it's right for where they're at in life and that it's going to help them achieve their goals. And for, you know, for younger people, the opportunity to look at more aggressive plans, you know, growth plans, quite different to those, you know, later in life who are more risk averse, I suppose. So, but it's in everyone's interest to have a look at how they're maximising that.
So how do you think that the public being less informed than they probably should be will affect Kiwis when they come to retirement age?
Look, we know that more people are arriving at retirement without something as basic as housing sorted out. You know, even at $30 million a day, you know, the current level of super at $400 a week assumes you have housing, home ownership sorted by the time you arrive there. And many more New Zealanders are arriving at retirement as renters or still with significant mortgages. So, which is why even something like declining home ownership rates is a feature of the review as well. Understanding how to make the most of your retirement saving. You know, people who understand how their KiwiSaver works, not only in the right plan and with the right provider to achieve their goals, but also see that, you know, employer contributions and the government contribution of up to $521 a year matching your first 1,043, I think it is, at 50 cents on the dollar, is the best return in town if you're, you know, if you're aware of that. And many, many New Zealanders are missing out even on that government contribution because they're not contributing enough themselves. It's the other piece that has increasingly more people engaged in the KiwiSaver conversation is the part that your KiwiSaver can play in purchasing your first home. So, you know, I guess all of those things will be on the radar as part of the review.
So are some of the issues the summit will be focusing on, so New Zealand's ageing population, increasing self-employment and decreasing home ownership, affecting the equity of retirement income?
Look, I guess the fairness and sustainability of superannuation is part of the focus of the review. And I guess that is one of the issues of with KiwiSaver. It is an employer-based scheme, and for the increasing number of self-employed people, and I guess this gig economy and the changing nature of work means that it's that also is something that needs to be looked at how relevant I guess the KiwiSaver model is for all New Zealanders. But you know, look, starting that preparation early, making sure that whatever your plan is, it helps you arrive at retirement in good financial health is part of what the government's focus is here.
So what retirement income issues are we seeing among low-income New Zealanders?
Well, I guess, the obvious one is an inability to save because they're living transaction to transaction, hand to mouth. Savings is a distant dream, I guess, for many of those who are struggling to keep their heads above water. But that's also where, I guess, you know, our direct accountability around the review is to MBIE and to the Minister of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. But it's not just the retirement income policy settings that will have a role to play in addressing vulnerability. Manual workers have a different risk profile, you know, than white-collar workers. You know, if you're a manual worker and your body's breaking down in your 40s and 50s, your ability to work to 65 or whatever the age of eligibility is quite different to somebody who is able to comfortably work beyond 55. So, you know, and those aren't policy settings that are impacted by superannuation and KiwiSaver. Those are around, I guess, skills, education, employment training and the like. So there's a whole lot of other policy areas that would need to be considered to address all of those things, and I guess our job is to highlight what the whole mix looks like.
Interesting. So I just want to ask you, how do New Zealand's retirement policies compare to those internationally?
Well, I guess New Zealand's superannuation as a universal benefit that you're eligible for at 65 is, you know, while there's been a lot of talk recently about whether it's enough, is still one of the few countries where it's a universal benefit, which is one of the, yeah, part of its value is its simplicity. Everyone who reaches the age of 65 in this country qualifies for super. You know, there are other countries where aging population is an issue, where the age of eligibility has moved. Partly that's also about reflecting the changing nature of work and people working longer. You know, in other countries have also got levels of compulsion around retirement saving that we don't have in New Zealand. Now, while we won't be climbing into that at the front end of this process, I guess those are all the sorts of things that are considered. An international perspective is something that the review will take into account, and I guess ultimately it's government that needs to make a call on what policy recommendations to enact.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.